little easier to keep my notes and maybe my wits together because the wind isn't blowing as it was at the beach this morning. It was glorious and wonderful, but I had to keep my hands on some of my texts that I wanted to use. I'm sorry that I couldn't be with you last week for really what was kind of a Pentecostal experience on Pentecost Day. And I congratulate the committee and the congregation and Richard for all being brought together in the tether of the Spirit to begin what I think will be a glorious ministry and sharing. And I see in it great possibilities. But when I got home, I rushed to try to get online so I could hear what Richard had said. And after seeing his and hooking into it, I noticed that the thing said that previous sermons are in the cloud. And not being totally a techie, I like the idea that sometimes some of my stuff is in the cloud. But I hope what I'm saying and preaching isn't too foggy and too much a cloud, that I can make myself clear. But because some of them have said, you know, you're awfully radical. And what I'm really trying to say is, I'm not political, I'm biblical. What I try to say is based on my understanding and reading of the Scriptures. And as I understand it, what they're really saying and what God is, said to us in Christ can be said in three words. Love one another. He came for the purpose of teaching and showing and guiding us one another. And then Paul took it a little further and he said, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of the Lord. But if we bear the burdens, they aren't burdens because they bring us together in community. But the one who really helped me get a hold of this was somebody I hadn't read before, Scott Bader-Say, who is a teacher at Southwestern Seminary in Austin, an Episcopal seminary. And this has gripped me, and I think we may have to put it in the Meeting House Monthly because it's just too good. He said, following Jesus will mean surrendering the power that masquerades as security in order to love the neighbor and welcome the stranger. It will mean avoiding the safe path in order to pursue the good. But in a culture of fear, we find such risks all the more difficult since our natural inclinations lead us to close in on ourselves when we face danger. And this is the question. How can we maintain the posture of an open hand toward a world that scares us? Now, the Pew Trust this last week came out with the word that we're a more polarized society than we've ever been. And I think that polarization we can lament, but our call as Christians is not to end up with lament, but to leaven a consciousness of care in the society so that we are not living fearful of each other, but developing some faith in each other, how we can understand and know what God is trying to say. Now, your first lesson was that 19th Psalm. And a friend of mine gave it to me this last week. She's a woman who's been a missionary for a number of years and done amazing work in Kenya. And would love to talk more about it. But she came home not too long ago only to find that she's faced with a life-threatening fatal illness. And I got an email from her this last week where she said, you know, I've developed in a way that I begin every day with recording my thankfulness. And I have a book where I give the thankfulness to God for his goodness and mercy toward me. And then she said, and I have the 19th. And the 19th, I hope you'll take this psalm home. No, don't. We want to recycle paper, but not this. Take it home and just kind of savor it and let you get the feeling of it, of what it's all about. And because I think that psalm is really a doxology. I don't know whether, Craig, that's ever been put to music, but it would make a great doxology. And it's kind of a credo. And it's the vision of an open heart and mind that brings us both joy and a call to obedience. It brings us the creative and caring so that we can get the mood and the meaning and the message that comes through the psalmist and through other great spirits up to our time. And then the lecture I'm reading for today was this last part of the Gospel of Matthew, the 28th chapter. And it's commonly understood and interpreted in the church as the Great Commission. But as a missionary and all this, that Great Commission stuff scares me. Because we get so triumphalistic in how we handle our faith that we lose the mood that I think Jesus was trying to create when he was calling, he gave us a commission, but the commission was not mastering, it's serving. And when Jesus appeared to the disciples in that time and that he agreed to meet them on the mountain. And he appeared, and some worshiped him, but some of them held back. How would you feel if he appeared? You know, if you really had a sense of the Jesus presence of the Spirit, I think I'd hold back a little because there's more in that and more involved than I might be willing to engage. But he said, go and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But I think the Trinity isn't just a formula. It's a creation and understanding of who the Father is, who God is, the Father, Mother, God. And then how God became a parent in the Son, in Jesus, and how they tried to work out and brought in some understanding of relating and bringing the message of love instead of power, of care instead of control to a place. And the Spirit is the thing that infuses that and gives it breath, the ruach of God. And then he went on to say, and I'll be with you all the time. You aren't out there alone. You aren't alone. That the heart of the gospel is love, not power. We've turned it into violence and baptized it and betrayed it. He calls us into love so that we know how to meet one another and the world. I get very upset when, you know, people talking about the faith center, you got to be saved. But I have a great problem with that, you know. To me, that's spiritual narcissism, to be thinking of myself instead of thinking of the people and community of God. And then some say, well, you know, he died for our sins. And that's a cop-out because he didn't die for our sins. He may have died because of our sins, but what he was really trying to do is show us how to die. Because the gospel said, unless you die fallen and brought again, unless we're humbly opened up so that we can feel the presence of something bigger than we are. That we overcome our sense, as we've said in the prayer earlier, of trying to play God and see if we can be humble servants of God. Now there's some great candidates, and if I had more time, I would list more of them for you, but one of my favorites is one who just passed recently. Her body did, but her spirit didn't. It's Maya Angelou. And she was in the area not long ago speaking to a group on women and girls issues, and she'd been over at Christ Church earlier and been a part of the program that they have. But I think when Pope Francis gets the word about Maya Angelou, she's going to leap to the lead on those who ought to be canonized. Now, I don't think she'd want to be canonized any more than Dorothy Day would, but she has all the makings of a real saint, and she'd have a time with that. But Maya Angelou, I think, went through the hell of abuse and segregation and torture and humiliation, probably as much, if not more, of anybody else. If you haven't read her stories and read her literature, do it, because it's amazing. And the little obituary that was on her in Time recently said that her tough, funny, lyrical voice transforms her story from a litany of isolation and suffering into a hymn of glorious human endurance. Ah, that is. That's what we call the refining fire. And if anybody had a refining fire, Maya Angelou has had it. But then they went on to say, her relentless creativity didn't balk at her own obituary. And she said, what I would like really to be said about me is that I dared to love. And then she went on to say, she defined it, you know, it's too simple if we don't define it. By love, I mean that the conditions in the human spirit so profound, it encourages us to develop courage and build bridges and then trust those bridges and cross the bridges in an attempt to reach other human beings. What a life legacy. To build a bridge, to trust the bridge, and then to go across the bridge to territory that may be alien or hostile or terrifying, that fear is overcome by faith. Now, I have a friend who was teaching at Nebraska Wesleyan. And Maya Angelou was invited to come there and speak. And in the auditorium, everybody responded. And her name had gone, they knew her and read her stuff. And she came out onto the stage and just stood there for 10 minutes and studied everybody in the meeting. In the place, in the assembly hall, you could hear a pin drop. And she studied, looked them over, took them in. And after 10 minutes, she began to sing. Have you ever heard her? You could imagine the power of that great spirit leader opening up with the pathos and power and praise that comes to one who is baptized in the anguish of a society and by the Spirit. And at the end of the meeting, when she stood down in front in the auditorium, particularly the students gathered around, but nobody wanted to shake her hand. They just wanted to touch her, like the woman who wanted to touch Jesus' garment to be healed, so they could feel and sense the power of a living, breathing, imaginative, creative spirit. It was awe. And you can't get near, couldn't, without awe, but that's what worship is. That's what it's all about. That some of those people who came to Jesus worshiped quickly. Others held back because in the awe of divine love, you get undressed. And you're naked. And you can't find a fig leaf. Because you don't need it. And so the question I have, do we dare build bridges to places and people that have been separated, too long divided? And can we open the hand to reach out in a scary world? The Trinity shows us that God's involved, has been, will be, and is now, by a divine presence who weeps at our division and is willing to die, that we can learn how to give up our illusions and delusions so that we can be embraced and embrace that love and grace in God and become servants of God, because the commission is to wash feet, not lead legions. Oprah Winfrey had Maya Angelou on at some point, not too long ago, and said, Maya, what's it like to be up there at 86 or 87? And as you can just see her, she said, oh, honey, I'm at the top of the mountain. It's a great place. You want to go there. Now, friends, do you want to go there? It's a journey. Not safe, but it sure is sure. And the promise is an understanding of love and its meaning that Jesus tried to show. And the saints in every age have tried to make contagious. I hope our faith can be contagious, and if I mix metaphors enough, to build bridges and to join hands. Amen.